जय राधा माधव तुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव तुंज बिहारी गोपी जाना बालावा गिरिधर धारी गोपी जाना बालावा गिरिधर धारी यशोदा नंदना व्रजन रंजन यशोदा नंदना व्रजन रंजन यमुना चिरावन चारी यमुना चिरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे हरे जय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय जय जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद
श्री राधा माधव जी की समवेत वृंद की जय गो प्रेमानंदी Jayam Vishnu Paraparamahamsa Parivrajaka
Chaucha. Ashto Tarashata Shishimad is the divine grace of Vaicharanadavinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Iskon Pratista Acharya Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Ananta Kota Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Amacharya Hariraj Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sigho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shri Vashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sham Kund Radha Kund Ki Govardhani Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadir Shri Mayapodam Ki Jai. Gangamai Ki Jai. Chamunamai Ki Jai. Devi Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Sri Hari Nam Shankitan Gaura Bhaktavinda Ki Jai. Jai Nitai Go Premanandi Samaveda Bhaktavinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Lakshmi. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, chapter, chapter 22, the descendants of Ajamita. Text 1, yeah? Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. What's on the board? 20. Vira Jutta Granir Jena Ramo Api Juti Toshita Shantanor Dasa Kanyayam Jajagni Chitrangada Suta Virajukagra Nichino Ramo Api Jutoshita Shantano Dasakanyayam Jagi Chitrangada Sudha Virajukagra Nichino Ramo Piju Dito Shita Shantana Dasa Kanyayam Yagi Chitrangada Shuta Virajuta Granitina Ramo Piju Dito Shita Shantana Shantano Dasa Kanyayam Jani Chitrangada Sudha. Virajuka Graniyena Ramo Pitu Sudha. Shantano Dasa Kanyayam Yagi Chitrangada Sutta Virajuta Granichina Ramopi Judito Sitam Shantano Dasa Kanyayam Yagi Chitrangada Sutta Virajuta Granitinam Ramopi Judito Sitam Shantano Dasa Kanyayam Kani Chitrangada Sutta. Any messages? Virajuka Granigina Ramo Piyodito Sita Shantano Dasa Kanyayam Yagi Chitrangada Sutta Virajuta Granitino Ramo Pichudito Sita Shantano Dasa Kanyayam Yagi Chitrangada Sutta. Virajuta Agrani Bhishmadev, the foremost of all warriors. Jina, by whom Rama Api, even Parashuram, the incarnation of God, Judhi, in a fight, Toshita, was satisfied when defeated by Bhishmadev. Shantano, by Shantanu. Dasa Kanyayam, in the womb of Satyavati, who was known as the daughter of a Sudra. Jagni was born Chitrangada. Shutaha, a son. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Savoyacharana Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Bhishmadev was the foremost of all warriors. When he defeated Lord Parashuram in a fight, Lord Parashuram was very satisfied with him. By the semen of Shantanu in the womb of Satyavati, the daughter of a fisherman, Chitrangada took birth. Please repeat. Bhishmadev was the foremost of all warriors. When he defeated Lord Parashuram in a fight, Lord Parashuram was very satisfied with him. By the semen of Shantanu in the womb of Satyavati, the daughter of a fisherman, Chitrangada took birth. So we read these translations without purport. Text 1. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, the son of Devodasa was Mitrayu. And from Mitrayu came four sons, Choivana, Sudasa, Sahadeva, and Shomaka. Shomaka was the father of Jantu. Shomaka had 100 sons, of whom the youngest was Prishata. From Prishata was born King Drupada, who was opulent in all supremacy. From Maharaj Drupada, Drupadi was born. Maharaj Drupada also had many sons, headed by Dhristadyumna. From Dhristadyumna came a son named Dhristaketu. All these personalities are known as descendants of Bharmashva, or the dynasty of Panchala. Another son of Ajamita was known as Riksha. From Riksha came a son named Shambharana. And from Shambharana, through the womb of his wife, Tapati, the daughter of the sun god, came Kuru, the king of Kurukshetra. Kuru had four sons, Parikshi, Sudhanu, Janu, and Nishada. From Sudhanu, Suhotra was born, and from Suhotra, Chaivana. From Chaivana, Kriti was born. The son of Kriti was Uparichara Bashtu, among his sons, headed by Bhadrata, were Kushamba, Matsya, Pratyagro, and Chedipo. All the sons of Upacharya, Vasu, became rulers of the Chedi state. From Bhadrata, Kushagra was born, and from Kushagra, Rishabha. From Rishabha, Satyahita. The son of Satyahita was Pushpapavam, and the son of Pushpapavam was Jahu. Through the womb of another wife, Bhadrata begot two halves of a son. And when the mother saw those two halves, she rejected them. Later, a she-demon named Jara playfully joined them together and said, "Come to life, come to life." And thus the son named Jarasandha was born. From Jarasandha came a son named Sahadeva, from Sahadeva Shomapi, and from Shomapi Srutashrava. The son of Kuru called Parikshit had no sons, but the son of Kuru called Janu had a son named Surata. From Surata, a son named Vidurata, and from Sarvabhuma, from whom Sarvabhuma was born. From Sarvabhuma came Jayasena, from Jayasena, Radhika, and from Radhika, Ayutthaya. From Ayutthaya came a son named Akrodhana, and his son was Devatiti. The son of Devatiti was Riksha. The son of Riksha was Dilipa. The son of Dilipa was Pratipa. The sons of Pratipa were Devapi, Shantanu, Bahalika. Devapi left the kingdom his father, went to the forest, and therefore Shantanu became king. Shantanu, in his previous birth, was known as Mahabisha, and he had the ability to transform anyone from old age to youth simply by touching the person with his hands. Because the king was able to make everyone happy for sense gratification, primarily by the touch of his hand, his name was Shantanu. Once, when there was no rainfall in the kingdom for 12 years, and the king consulted learned Brahminical advisors, and they said, "You are faulty for enjoying the property of your elder brother. For the elevation of your kingdom and home, you should return the kingdom to him." Small purport. One cannot enjoy sovereignty or perform the Agnihotri Yagna in the presence of one's elder brother, or else one becomes an usurper, known as a paribetar. When the Brahmana said this, Maharaj Shantanu went to the forest and requested his elder brother, Devapi, to take charge of the kingdom, for it is the duty of a king to maintain his subjects. Previously, however, Shantanu's minister, Ashvavara, had instigated some Brahmanas to introduce Devapi to transgress the injunctions of the Vedas and thus make himself unfit for the post of ruler. The Brahmanas deviated Dilip from the path of the Vedic principles, and therefore when asked by Shantanu, he did not agree to accept the post of a ruler. On the contrary, he blasphemed the Vedic principles, and therefore he became fallen. Under the circumstances, Shantanu again became the king. And Indra, being very pleased, showered rains. Devapi later took to the path of mystic yoga to control his mind and senses, and went to a village named Kalpabrahma, where he is still living. After the dynasty of the moon god comes to an end in the age of Kali, Devapi, in the beginning of the next Satyuga, will re-establish the Soma dynasty in this world. From Balika, the brother of Shantanu, came a son named Somadatta. He had three sons named Purishvara, Shala, and Shala. From Shantanu, through the womb of his wife, named Ganga, came Bhishma, the exalted self-realized devotee and learned scholar. 20. Bhishmadev was the foremost of all warriors. When he defeated Lord Parashuram in a fight, Lord Parashuram was very satisfied with him. By the semen of Shantanu in the womb of Satyavati, the daughter of the fisherman, Chitrangada took birth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Satyavati was actually the daughter of Upachara Basu by the womb of a fisherman known as Matsya Garba, a fisherwoman known as Matsya Garba. Later, Satyavati was raised by a fisherman. The fight between Parashuram and Bhishmadev concerns three daughters of Kashiraj, Ambika, Ambalika, and Amba, who were forcibly abducted by Bhishmadev, acting on behalf of his brother, Bichirada Virya. Amba thought that Bhishmadev would marry her, and she became attached to him, but Bhishmadev refused to marry her, for he had taken a vow of brahmachari. Amba therefore approached Bhishmadev's military spiritual master, Parashuram, who instructed Bhishma to marry her. Bhishmadev refused to marry her, and therefore Parashuram fought with him to force him to accept the marriage. But Parashuram was defeated, and he was very pleased with Bhishmadev. Om Agyan Samiram Dasya Jananjanan Shalakrita Chudam Nidam Dina Pasmej Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karata Shri Bhashari Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Prabhupada said, here is one instance how you can refuse to abide by the spiritual master's orders, Hare Krishna. By the orders of the spiritual master. If the spiritual master tells you you should get married, you can refuse, say no. Otherwise, you should always follow the guru's instruction. So this happened to Bhishmadev, who kidnapped the three daughters for his brother. He wanted to give them to his brother. But then, somehow or another, Bhishmadev landed up with the daughter, and he said, I'm not going to marry her. So Parashuram said, no, you have to marry her because you actually kidnapped her at the wedding ceremony. Anyway, he said, according to the circumstances, I cannot marry her. So later on, she becomes a man, is it? And so she can help defeat in the great battle of Kurukshetra. In the next verse, what? Speak louder. Okay. Anyway, the story is in the Mahabharata. Long story. So, here we're reading the all the different kings that are coming, and mentions here that the moon, the king, moon king. Shantanu's minister, Ashvavara, had instigated some brahmanas to introduce Devapi to transgress the injunctions of the Vedic, of the Vedas, and thus make himself unfit for the post of a ruler. The brahmanas deviated Devapi from the path of the Vedic principles, and therefore when asked by Shantanu, he did not agree to accept post of a ruler. On the contrary, he blasphemed the Vedic principles and therefore became fallen under the circumstances. Shantanu again became the king. And Indra, being pleased, showered the rain. So this was a trick to get the rain to come, because you cannot perform these sacrifices in the presence of the elder brother. So they made a trick, whereas by the elder brother, he came fallen. He didn't accept the Vedas, so he was considered fallen. So that, like that, then the younger brother could continue the sacrifice and bring the rain. So that trick worked, and Indra was pleased. They got rain. They were having a 12-year drought. So then they got showered with the rains. And then it says that Devapi, he later took the path of mystic yoga to control his mind and senses, and went to the village known as Kalapa Grama, where he is still living. Is that the same place where Kalki is? Same village? Kalapa Grama, yeah? I think Lord Kalki has something. He's in a village like South. I think it's the same one. Anyway, after the dynasty of the moon god comes to an end in this age of Kali, Devapi, in the beginning of the next Shatid Yuga, will re-establish the moon dynasty. In other words, he's still living in Kalapagrama, probably doing austerities there. And because the dynasties have not been maintained properly, so there has to be proper dynasties coming from the sun god or the moon god. Krishna was born in the moon god dynasty. So they have to have these exalted personalities to maintain these great dynasties. So he's living, performing austerities, probably in Kalapagrama, and when the next Satyayuga begins, then he's already there, and he knows the all the things to do and all the things not to do, how to start a dynasty. So already he knows he's part of the dynasty. So when the Kali Yuga finishes, and then he comes out of his austerities, then he starts the new Satyayuga with the moon dynasty, from the moon dynasty. Like this, the universe is very well planned and plotted out. So, also we had that Jarasandha. This is Jarasandha, who in Krishna book he had to fight with, was killed by Bhishma, Bhim ultimately had a fight with him. Jarasandha. Krishna defeated him 7 times in the battle. The 18th time he left the battlefield to see Rukmini. 17 battles, he's like getting a little bit bored with that. And then the messenger was sent with a brahmana from Rukmini to come and kidnap me. Otherwise Shishupala is going to marry me. So Krishna thought, well, that's a bit interesting, more interested in fighting again with Jarasandha. Already had 17 battles with him and defeated him. Not very exciting anyway. But this is a nice piece of information I got. So he left the battlefield. But Jarasandha called him a coward and so many other names. But later on, this Jarasandha. So he was telling about Jarasandha's birth, that the king gave anyway, they gave mangoes for the two queens. But the baby was born in two halves. The king wanted a son, but he was born in two halves exactly. So she said, "What a useless." So she threw him in the forest, and there was one black witch there. And she thought, "Oh, nice, Amelia, nice, fresh, tender, human baby human." So she was very happy. She was going to eat them. But then, out of fun, she said, "Let's see what they look like together." So she stuck them together and said. And then they looked at her. She said, the king was wanted a son. I'll go and give him to the king. So she went to the king and said, I got this son. So the king was very happy because he couldn't get a son. So his name was Jarasandha. Jara means it was joined. Or a son that means it was joined. I don't know Sanskrit. Anyway, so Jarasandha was very powerful. And when Krishna went to, because Jarasandha had to be defeated or surrendered to Yudhisthira to perform the Rajasura sacrifice. You have to conquer all directions. So they went to see Jarasandha. And they said, he'll have a battle. He won't surrender to Yudhisthira. So better we go and we have a little private fight. So then we'll save all the killings and things like that. But Jarasandha, he's not going to surrender anyway. So they dressed up like brahmanas. Krishna and Bhim and who else? Arjuna. Arjuna, they went to see Jarasandha and they said, "We're brahmana, we're beggars, we have come to beg something from you." Jarasandha said, "They're not brahmanas. Look at their bodies, they've got thin waists, musculars, they've got bowstring marks where they carry the bow on their shoulders. They're bluffing. Anyway, I'll give you whatever you want because already you've degraded yourself. You're pretending to be brahmanas. I know you're kshatriyas. So I'll give you whatever you want." So they said, "Okay. We want to have a fight with you." And Jarasandha said, "Good, that's good. But this Krishna, why do you want to fight with him? He's run away 17 times. How can I fight with a coward like that? Arjuna, he's too young. He's just infant. He doesn't, there will be no match. But Bhima, he's he's very strong. He can. Okay, I'll fight with Bhim." So then they had a big fight, and it lasted 27 days, something like that, 27 or 28 days. At night time they would take a bath, have a massage, have a feast, all together, they'd all live together again, even though there were enemies fighting in the daytime. At night time they would come and they were their relatives, Jarasandha's two daughters, or daughters married Kamsa, yeah? Kamsa, King Kamsa. So they were relatives because Krishna is the son of, or the Kamsa is Krishna's uncle. So they were relatives, so they were speaking icy family topics and whatever Kshatriyas speak about. And then next morning again on the battlefield, very ferocious, with intention to kill. So after 27 days like that, Bhim said, I'm not going to defeat him. I can't defeat this man. And he said, I'm not going to let Jarasandha defeat me, but what can I do? 27 days we're fighting, I can't. So Krishna, he knew the secret of his birth, how he was joined in two halves by the witch, Jara. So he indicated to Bhishmadev, there was a tree there where the branches were coming out like that, and one branch was bifurcated, it was two branches were coming out. So Krishna, when Bhim was looking, he got that branch and he split it in two. And Bhim got the idea. So then they started to fight. He threw him on the ground and he put his feet on one ankle of Jarasandha and he grabbed the other leg and he right down the center. So he had half a nose, one eye, half a mouth, half genital. Everything was a complete half. So then that was the demise of Jarasandha. So Jarasandha later on became, in Gaur Leela, he became the Nawab Hussain Sah. Was the king of West Bengal. With Ramakeli, that area, that he had some kingdom there, with Rupa and Sanatana. Anyway, he was. He was an Abyssinian, actually. He was born in the Abyssinian race. That's in Africa, right? Near Africa. Abyssinia. So they would take the Abyssinians for servants, for being like servants, like slaves. But then later on, over the many, many years that passed, they expanded through family population, and somehow or another he became a king. Though he's an Abyssinian. And he was a very fearful king also. And he said to his ministers, who is this Mahaprabhu I'm hearing about? And the minister, he didn't want to upset Jarasandha. He's just an ordinary mendicant, some mendicant. Out of sentiment, they're dancing. He's just attracting a lot of people. He's just an ordinary man. Jarasandha said, no, he's not ordinary man. He must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, how these thousands of people are following him? I've got my armies and my ministers. They want money. I'm paying them. He's not paying anyone. And you say he's ordinary. So at last, Jarasandha, he accepted that Krishna was Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he's Jai Vijay. These were the Jai Vijay. This was the last birth of Jai and Vijay. Three births as demons. Hiranyaka, Hiranyakashipu, and... What? Shishupala. Shishupala, okay. Shishupala and Jarasandha. So, what were we saying? I forgot what was... Okay, so Bhushan Shavas. That was his last birth. Yeah, so he actually accepted Krishna as the Supreme Person. Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of God. So that was his last birth. Yeah, anyway, so then it finishes up with Bhishma. There's a chapter here called The Passing Way of Bhishma Dev. Very nice prayers by Bhishma Dev he was offering on the battlefield of Kuruketra. You've seen that picture of Bhishma Dev. I don't know if you've seen it. A picture of Bhishma Dev lying in a bed of arrows. Is it here? No. Anyway, there's a famous lot of pictures. You see Bhishma Dev, he's lying on the bed of arrows. Arrows were all going through him. Prabhupada said it wasn't exactly like that. This was the Kshatriyas. They shot the arrows in the ground, so many arrows were close together, and it formed a bed with feathers also, feathered arrows, so feather bed. They shot this was called the Kshatriya's bed, a bed for the Kshatriya, dying Kshatriya, so they made a bed of arrows in the ground flat, because the Vaishnavas, they don't like to see Bhishma covered in arrows for his body, they wouldn't be nice. So it was actually a bed, and then they lay the Kshatriya on the bed. And Bhishma Devi was lying there and speaking many instructions to King Yudhisthira, because he was going to be the next emperor of the world, so he had to have many instructions. So he gave many instructions, especially on karmakanda, people can live together and manage a society. Bhishma Dev, he learned from Janamuni. Janamuni is his uncle, considered to be his uncle. Because Bhishma Dev was born from Ganga Devi. And Janamuni, he drank the Ganga. And then he released Ganga. So he's considered like the father of Ganga. And Bhishma is the son of Ganga. So he's like his uncle. In Janamuni, just on the other side of the Ganga, Janudip, Janamuni ashram is there. So Bhishma Devi came there, took all these instructions from Janamuni. These later on he gave to Yudhishthira. So Bhishma Dev was lying on those arrows. It says in the Mahabharata and other places, I think, that he was waiting for the sun to move into the northern hemisphere. The light and the dark months and the year, days and nights. So it's very good for yogis. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita to live in during the light period, the light fortnight, the bright fortnight. Very good for yogis to go back to Godhead. So generally it says in the Mahabharata, Bhishma Devi is waiting for this, the sun to make its appearance appear in the northern hemisphere. But actually Bhishma Devi, he was waiting for Krishna to come. It wasn't much to do with the movements of the sun. He was waiting for Krishna to come. He wanted to see Krishna. So Krishna come right at that time with what do we call it? Astrology. Anyway, equinox, is it? At the equinox, huh? Uttarayana, it says. Thank you. So Uttarayana, the sun is moving into a different forth. So, yeah, he would create a Bhishma waiting for Krishna. He wanted to see Krishna. And so Bhishma Devi gave all these instructions he had learned from Janamuni and Advaita. So he was when he was giving those instructions, Draupadi was there, and she was smiling slightly. And they said, "Why is Draupadi smiling?" She said, "No, Bhishma Devi, you're speaking so much nice words now. All this karma kanda stuff and how to the dharma shastras, you're speaking so nicely about dharma, but where were you when I was being derobed? What was you doing? They were pulling my clothes off. Where were you at that time? What was you doing? And now you're talking dharma, 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 and at that time you didn't say anything." And Bhishma Dev said, "No, because at that time I was living with the Kurus. I chose to live with the Kurus, and they were feeding me. And because of this, eating the grains, my blood became polluted with the living with the Kurus, eating the grains from the Kurus. My blood became polluted. Now all that blood has left my body. It's all drained out because of the arrows, so many arrows. I've lost all that blood. Therefore now I'm speaking. What I'm speaking is truth. It's not tainted by any impure blood that was there before. That impurity has gone away." But Bhishma Dev also, he has a place here, Bhishma Tila in Nabadweep, other side of the river, near Janamuni. Janamuni Ashram, Bhishma Dev there. Bhishma Tila. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in the Nabadweep Bhava Taranga that when Bhishma Dev is making pilgrimage of the Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is making pilgrimage. And the Dharma is all being revealed. So he's there at Bhishma Tala in the evening time, and Lord Bhishma Dev, Bhakta Bhishma, he comes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, offering his pranams. And Bhishma Dev says that, "I have something very confidential to tell you. When I was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and then Krishna came, Krishna told me something. He said, when you were a young man, you visited your uncle here in Nabadweep. It's a very, very special abode of mine. Simply because you come to visit your relative. He didn't come on a spiritual quest or anything. He came to see his uncle. It was a material identity. And of course, they're exalted personalities. But simply because you came there to visit your uncle, you visited that, you received the mercy of Mayapur. And so Krishna said to Bhishma that when you leave your body, you will go to the planet of Parthasarathi. Parthasarathi is a Vaikuntha planet known as Parthasarathi, where those who have a chivalrous spirit, this humor, this rasa with Krishna, there's different rasas. So those who have chivalrous spirit, they Kshatriyas want to be proud. There is a planet you can go and serve Krishna in that situation. There's no killing there, so I don't... There's no battles in Vaikuntha. Nobody dies in Vaikuntha, but I don't know what they do. Maybe they ride around in chariots and they boasting a little bit or have some competitions. I don't know. But anyway, there's a planet where those with that chivalrous spirit can serve Krishna as Parthasarathi. And so you will get when you leave this body, you'll go to that planet to serve Krishna. Simultaneously, because you visited Navadvipa and took some instructions here from Janamuni, You will also get the body to serve Gauranga Mahaprabhu. You get the body to serve Krishna in Patasarati Loka, and you will get a body to serve Mahaprabhu in Nabadweep. So Bhishma Dev is there, he's got the blackish body, Sroop City, like Krishna's. 12 tilaks, Chandan, Kunti Mala, Japamala, chanting Hare Krishna, Bhakta Bhishma Dev. Yeah, still there. Ah. He gives some very nice instruction to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And one of them was, he said, as long as he explains to him how this is the spiritual realm, everything is here, it's unmanifested. If you have the eyes to see, you can see the Dharma is manifested here right now. The pastimes of Gauranga are going on eternally, the pastimes of Radha Krishna also are going on eternally right now. If you have the eyes, you can see them. But, he said, as long as your intelligence still sticks to material identification, as long as your intelligence still sticks to material identification, then the true nature of the Dharma will not be visible. So this is what is blocking us. Now, if our intelligence is still sticking to some material identity, then the yoga maya curtain is there. So if we act in Krishna consciousness or proper identity, then yoga maya will lift that curtain and you can see the spiritual realm eternally, the Lord performing his pastimes here. Passing away Bhishma. So Bhishma Dev is famous. These are famous stories because Bhishma Dev set the ideal example of what to do at the time of leaving your body. Anta Narayana Smriti. The Vedas say, this is the purpose of the Veda, to remember Narayan at the time of leaving the body. This is the whole purpose of the Vedas. So Bhishma Dev, he showed us by his example how he was remembering Krishna at the time of death. And because his worshipful deity was Padasrati Krishna, the Kshatriya, he was meditating on that form. And Krishna personally appeared before him, manifested his form as a Kshatriya. So Bhishma Dev could look into the eyes, gaze into the eyes of Krishna, and holding his lotus feet on his chest. Ideal way to leave your body. It reminds us of Haridas Thakur, but rare. So Bhishma Dev is offering nice prayers. Therefore that man who spoke on different subjects of 1,000 meanings, who fought on thousands of battlefields and protected thousands of men, he stopped speaking, and he became completely free from all bondage, withdrew his mind from everything else, and fixed his wide open eyes upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who stood before him, four-handed, dressed in yellow garments that glittered and shined. So Bhishma Dev, Arjuna also has a Kshatriya spirit relationship, a Kshatriya relationship, Arjuna. But Bhishma Dev, he was better than Arjuna in the sense that Krishna. That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Jalangi. Yeah, so he was, Arjuna, he was saying Bhishma Dev from behind. No, Krishna from behind. Krishna was in front with the chariot. He was taking, Arjuna was behind him so he could see Krishna's back. But Bhishma Dev was in front of, Krishna was in front of Bhishma. He could see his face on. So in that way he was considered, he was better for Bhishma Dev. He could gaze in the face of Krishna, where Arjuna could just see the back of Krishna. So he was more fortunate than Arjuna at this time. So he withdrew his mind from everything else and fixed his wide opened eyes upon the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who stood before him, four-handed, dressed in yellow garments that glittered and shined. By meditating, looking at Lord Sri Krishna, he was at once freed from all material inauspiciousness. He was relieved of all bodily pain caused by the arrow wounds, and thus all the external activities of his senses at once stopped, and he prayed transcendentally to the controller of all living beings while quitting his material body. He was able to remember and suffer. Bhishma Dev said, "Let me now invest my thinking, feeling and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties. Let me engage them in the all-powerful Sri Krishna, who is always self-satisfied. But sometimes, being the leader of devotees, he enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending on this material world, although from him only the material world is created. Sri Krishna, the intimate friend of Arjuna, he appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of a tamala tree. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems, upper, middle and lower. May his glittering yellow dress, his lotus face covered with paintings of sandalwood, be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire fruitive results." On the battlefield where Krishna attended Arjuna out of friendship, the flowing hair of Lord Krishna turned ashen due to the dust raised by the hoofs of the horses, and because of his labor, beads of sweat wetted his face. All these decorations, intensified by the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows, were enjoyed by Krishna. Let my mind thus go to Sri Krishna. In obedience to the command of his friend, Lord Sri Krishna entered the arena of the battlefield of Kurukshetra between the soldiers of Arjuna and Duryodhana. And while he was there, he shortened the span of life of the opposite party by his merciful glance. This was simply done by looking at the enemy. Let my mind be fixed on that Krishna. When Arjuna was seen polluted by ignorance and observing the soldiers and commanders before him on the battlefield, my Lord eradicated his ignorance by delivering transcendental knowledge. Means Bhagavad Gita. May his lotus feet always remain the object of my attraction. Fulfilling my desire to sacrificing his own promise, he got down from the chariot, took up a wheel and ran toward me hurriedly, just as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He even dropped his outer garment on the way. May that Lord Sri Krishna, who awards salvation, be my ultimate destination. On the battlefield he charged me as if angry because of the wounds dealt by my arrows. His shield was scattered and his body was smeared with blood due to the wounds. At the moment of death, let my ultimate attraction be Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. I concentrate my mind upon the chariot driver of Arjuna, who stood with a whip in his right hand, a bridle rope in his left hand, and was very careful to protect Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms after death. There were 640 million people were killed during that battle. And they all went back to Godhead. It says they all attained their original forms after death simply by being in the presence of Krishna. By acting as Krishna's enemies, they were opposite. They were trying to kill Krishna, but Krishna is so merciful that they all went back to Godhead in their original spiritual forms. So Krishna made a promise that I won't fight. You can have my soldiers, you can have me personally on your side. So Arjuna said, no, we'll take you, Krishna. And Duryodhana party, they will have Krishna's armies. They were superior in army strength and manpower. Actually, they should have won the battle if Krishna wasn't there then. But, so Bhishma made a promise that tomorrow, unless Krishna brings up his weapons, I'm going to kill Arjuna. Krishna said, I won't lift any weapons. Now Bhishma Dev is saying, unless I make him lift weapon. I'm going to kill Arjuna. And Krishna has to protect him. If he doesn't protect him, I'm going to kill him. So let's see what happens. So Bhishma Dev is fighting so ferociously, arrow after arrow after, and Arjuna was really in trouble, big trouble. He was going to be killed there. And Krishna was also really scared. And what's happening here? Bhishma Dev, Arjuna's getting all these arrows. They get another one. Krishna would smash it. Bhishma Dev would smash it. Any movement he made, there was an arrow. Boom, 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 boom. His body was pierced, so many arrows. And Krishna was saying, Arjuna is going to be killed. There's no way. He can't even get time to get a bow to his arrow. Bhishma Dev is so fast. He's smashing everything. And Krishna is saying to my best friend Arjuna, he's going to be killed. No, Arjuna is not going to be killed. He ran to Bhishma Dev and he picked up the chariot wheel. He probably didn't even know what it was. Picked up something, charged toward Bhishma. He's charged flew off. He didn't notice that. He was only concentrating on Bhishma Dev. I'm not going to let Bhishma kill my friend Arjuna. He rushed so angry like a lion running towards an elephant. And Bhishma Dev saw Krishna as death personified. Krishna was death personified. Coming, but Bhishma Dev didn't see him as death personified. He was death personified. Bhishma, here is my worshipful object. Here is my most lovable Lord. He's coming to kill him. Bhishma Dev is going to kill him. Krishna is going to kill him. And Bhishma Dev is saying, what a beautiful scene. Krishna is rushing towards me to kill him. And he's angry, in the mood to protect Arjuna. He broke his promise. He promised he wouldn't take up any weapon. He'd pick up that wheel, that chariot wheel or something. So he broke his promise. He got angry. He wasn't supposed to fight. This is the big, big speaker of Bhagavad Gita. You should control your anger, Arjuna. Control your senses. It's all control. Do this. Don't be disturbed by them. They're simply the movements of the modes of material nature. The big, big speaker, Krishna. But when it comes to it, picked up the weapon and he lost it actually. But Krishna says, they may call me all these names, they can call me a coward and a breaker of promises. I don't mind, let them call me whatever they like. But let this one be known, that I am known as Bhaktavatsala. That don't take that away. You can, that for that name, I don't mind sacrificing anything else, but never let it, always let it be said that my name is Bhaktivatsala. I will always protect my devotee. All the other names you may give, but Bhaktivatsala, that is the name I like, because I promise I will always protect my devotees. Okay. Wherever Krishna is, so much adventure every moment. From one adventure to another. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Bhakti Bhishma Dev ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Shambhala Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Go Premanandi. Thank you.